Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for the Buckhead Business Radio Show.
All right, Rich Casanova here, your host for Buckhead Business Radio. Another exciting episode, and it's a just unbelievable day here in Buckhead, right? Ryan Redhawk McPherson, my sidekick. Are you a sidekick? Is that I always wanted to say that?
Yeah,
I always wanted to have a sidekick in radio.
Sure, I'd be a sidekick for you. I'm here helping you know, make this broadcast go smooth and fast. You know, our listeners are demanding this. You know,
I'm telling you,
they have been demanding more compelling conversation and more engaging guests, and I think we've hit a home run here today.
Oh,
Rich,
man, you might have put a little pressure on our guest here in the studio, but I know this guy. He's going to hit it out of the park. Yeah,
good.
So, just maybe a couple, just a minute or two on what's the latest from Buckhead Business Radio here, Ryan. What's
Well, we just wrapped up our Tuesday morning 8 a.m. broadcast of Atlanta Legal Experts. Another excellent episode featuring some of the high profile attorneys in the metro area.
And no lawsuits were filed during the broadcast.
No one got hurt.
No one hurt or injured during listeners or guests.
So we featured some family law, some workers' comp, some criminal defense attorneys, and it's always a mixed bag of guests there on Emily's show.
And after a year of weekly shows, I almost feel like I'm a lawyer, right?
No, you're right.
Use some of their lingo. And also in the studio, we have some great shows. This weekend, we have Kids Business Radio. A couple of kids have actually been on ABC Shark Tank and gotten money from some of the sharks who have been here in the studio. And the Franchise Business Radio is a big hit. If you're in the franchise business, definitely reach out to us. Love to consider you as a guest. And then finally, on Friday, you wrap up the week with your show.
Georgia Business Radio, from Atlanta to Savannah and back again. If you're doing business in the state of Georgia, we want you in our studio to share your story and how you're changing the world.
Yes, real movers and shakers there. You had the founder of Bubba Gump Shrimp Company.
That's right. Scott Barnett was in studio. And then just last week, we had an interview with Bill Rancic, the first winner of The Apprentice.
I know. I was a huge fan watching that.
And, great show.
First guy, we asked him about Donald Trump running for president.
Yeah, that was one of your questions.
Yeah.
And
you'll have to listen to that show to hear the answer.
Go to businessradiox.com or buckheadbusinessradiox.com to hear that full interview.
And then finally, just some shows in the works, some pilot shows. We had a great run of food and beverage radio
last week.
Yeah, we had the guys from Focus Brands.
Yep.
Were in here.
Yeah, he was here. And Pity Pat's Porch was here.
But again, no Cinnabons, no food. I mean, they don't understand the rules of food and beverage radio.
I know.
We provide the beverage. I mean, we got water.
We need to make that happen.
They need to step up.
Got to be fair.
And then finally, International Business Radio. I'm very excited about that one. That's going to be a lot of fun. So,
All right.
So that's the news from here. And let's jump into our show and find out, Ryan, who's our guest here in the studio joining us this morning.
It's my distinct pleasure and honor to welcome Mr. Will Caraway. He attended the University of Mississippi. He passed the 100-ton Coast Guard captain. He's a dive instructor, teach business networking online, 800-plus students, a largest online training in the world, a best-selling author with a book on Amazon, The Professional Networker, consulting, and he's taught elementary schools on how to network. Most of his clients are physicians, attorneys, and professionals. We're going to learn more about that. Welcome to the studio, Will Caraway.
Thank you very much. That was an impressive intro. Thank you.
Man, I want to borrow some of that.
Well, it looks good on paper.
It sounded great. I got to ask, 100 ton, man, you don't look, you look great for carrying that much weight around.
50 ton was great. No, it's a Coast Guard certification. I had a license. I lived in Hawaii for 18 years and
got
a chance to sail around the Caribbean a little bit. So
I've been to, 48 of the states, but, not Alaska. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah. Now 100 tons, or I said Alaska, I meant Hawaii. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Neither one of those. What does that entail? 100 ton
license is basically the size of the cargo
you
can carry. I can operate up to a 700-foot ship, depending on the size of the carrier. But the most important part about being a Coast Guard captain is you can marry people on a boat.
Oh, really?
But the marriage is only good for the duration of the voyage.
So how does that work for a divorce attorney?
Whatever. Well, they're
waiting for you on the gang on the gangplank.
It's a good business.
So. That's a trip. So. Do you have to be in international waters to make
the Coast Guard? They have international and coastal waters, but I captain my biggest boat was 137-foot titanium hull converted Dutch hospital boat.
Wow,
it was $37,000 a week. Had 6 staterooms, sous chef. It was really, really nice.
That's amazing.
That was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
That's only a few feet shorter than your private yacht.
That's right. No, that's the size that goes to the yacht.
Okay, nice. The dinghy, yeah. I've known you for a while, had no idea of that interesting background as well. And then also you talking about coaching elementary schools and how to network.
Got a chance to teach some kids in North Fulton Elementary School, fifth graders,
okay,
how to network. They're teaching them now the Franklin Covey 7 Steps to Successful Habits.
Right, right.
And then the principal asked me to come in and assist him with putting a program together for working with kids, children. And we're going to try to work with Jeff Foxworthy and call it possibly, Can You Work a Room Better Than a Fifth Grader?
Nice. That's a great working title. I love
that.
Well,
let me ask you a question. It's interesting because when you're with a fifth grader, when adults are out networking, we usually end up with a question, so what do you do?
Yeah,
when you're
exactly.
In the fifth grade, what would you recommend they say?
Exactly. Yeah. What's after school activity are you playing?
Well, that's a good point.
What's your favorite subject?
There you go. Yeah.
That's, well, a lot of times we try to get tell the kids it's about relationships, and you got to find out what they really like. But it's interesting, the cultures in the school today are interesting because some cultures don't allow you to look at other people directly in the eye, and it's forming the relationships with different kind of companies and different people. So it's very rewarding to do stuff like that.
Well, and by that age, most elementary kids, they're adventurous and they're just limitless in their ideas, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes, they are. Yeah, definitely. So that's really good. So that's what you do is you teach networking, not only to youngsters, but the professionals out there as well. Tell us a little bit about how you got started in that.
Well, Ryan, that's an interesting question. The networking part is basically what people, everybody knows how to network, they believe. But what we're actually after is getting referrals, promoting our business.
Okay.
I was with the Johns Creek Chamber, one of the board of directors for many years. I got involved and started speaking with the chamber, and a lot of people would walk up to me and say, well, you know, what you said was very interesting. I'd like a little help. So I got into the business, tried to retire. I was selling medical devices for about a year, and then before that I was a financial advisor. But it's really, this is something I'm so blessed to be in a position like this, because if you've ever heard the term, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah.
I finally realized what I want to be.
And so what is that?
This is a professional networker. I mean, you'd be surprised. Rich and I were at an event last night.
Yep.
And there was a lady, I don't know if you saw the one selling the little magazines for $10. She was the most annoying, aggressive.
In your face.
Here's my card. We call those pocket shooters, because all they do is give out their business card. And somebody says, Will, I got to leave. She's coming over to talk to us. And she came over, and he said, I'm leaving. I said, I'm going to try to help this person.
Right.
And I brought her over and sat her down, and about 10% of it soaked in, but at least, God bless her, I gave her my best, and I hope that she will change or make a living at what she's doing.
Hmm. I mean, I think in their mindset, they consider themselves to be fearless or feisty, you know, but it kind of works against them unknowingly, right? Because, I mean, I had this similar experience last night as well, and I witnessed it. I was having a conversation with a couple of folks. This person just abruptly walked right into the conversation and handed every person a business card without even introducing themselves or asking the other person even their name.
Mm-hmm.
What do you attribute that to? What's their mindset?
A lot of people in business are very good at what they do, but they're not very good at other things. Like, I don't represent myself when I'm an attorney. I don't try to do surgery on myself. And I don't do
right.
Well, we could get a better deal on internet. But when you start a business, most of the mindset is, well, let's go out and promote our business or our service. So let's tell everybody what we do.
Right, right.
Well, unfortunately, if you're I'm not picking on any particular industry, but let's say that you're a financial advisor, mm-hmm. an insurance banker.
Right.
When you walk up to a financial advisor and they say, when you say, what do you do? And they say they're a financial advisor, what's your first response? Your eyes usually roll back in your head saying, right. Did I turn the dishwasher on? Did I feed the cat? How do I get out of this conversation?
Right.
Because they've talked to the other five financial advisors and they're saying the same thing.
Right.
So, yes, you have to tell your product or service, but you have to distinguish yourself between you and the other 19,000 people in a five-mile range that do the same thing that you do.
Well, I was at a networking event last week and talking to someone about the same topic of how do you present yourself at these events. And one of the things they kept telling me is you got to be tenacious about it. You got to go and you got to show up. But what are some of those resourceful type tools that you could recommend for when meeting someone at one of these networking events?
Good question. There are three basic things that you need when you're networking. First of all, and the most important, is to have chemistry. If you don't have chemistry with the other person, male or female, you're not going anywhere. They're not going to refer you, and you're not going to refer them.
So you have to make a connection.
Absolutely. You've got to find something, and you can't get everybody to like you. You're not supposed to. But
right.
The idea is to find someone that you're comfortable with. That's the key thing. And you got to remember another thing. It's called the pain and pleasure. You have, well, it's interesting because you've got a home, it's hot outside, 90 degrees, and your air conditioner broke. That's a pain. Yeah. If you're in the air conditioning business, that's your pleasure. Mm-hmm. You have got to figure out what that person's pain is and show them that your service or talent can take care of them.
And just to continue on that analogy, it does bring up this visual of being at a networking event where people are very cool, very comfortable, they're enjoying life, air conditioning is just fine, and yet that person will keep trying to sell air conditioning to them, mm-hmm. right? And you've got to be able to acknowledge that they don't have a pain. So Absolutely. Kind of find somebody that needs your services, right? Yes or yes?
Absolutely. You have to be able – people are not going to buy from a company. They're going to buy from an individual. Right. They have to like you and trust you. Now, how do you do that? You've got to get common ground with them as quickly as possible. You've got to get right – networking is a business. It's mm-hmm. not a social event. For me, you go out there. Your idea is to promote your business, but you've got to find the people that need your service. You've got to be able to solve a problem or prevent one happening, and then you've got to be the go-to person in your business.
And be diplomatic about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We were talking earlier in the show, it's kind of the same thing we were just talking about, is people buy from people, and we also talk about B2B. We throw that term, that's been a buzzword for at least a decade, right, this whole day. But at the end of the day, it's really about H to H.
Human to
Absolutely.
Human.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Right, yeah.
P to P, H to H. People to people.
P to P. But I don't know. I have a problem saying P to P.
Well, it doesn't roll off your lips.
Yeah, it's more H to H. Okay. Human to human. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right? Because we think of these big, like at last night's event, there were some big brand box names out there, some established companies that have been around 100 years. But am I buying from this big H&R Block, you know, or this big brand? No, I'm buying from Will.
Absolutely. The person. You know? That's yeah. the key. You've got to, but that's the issue. The clients that I have are either introverts or extroverts. The introverts don't like to talk about themselves, so there's a process that we use to do that. Extroverts, like you and I, I found my problem. I know how to talk. I can small talk all day long, but my problem is most extroverts, we talk too much.
That's I got to work on that.
Yeah, Rich. Yeah.
Am I talking right now? You're interrupting. Okay. I do need. I've gotten better at that. But
yeah.
You know,
obviously you have. Yeah, it's good.
There's a time and place for everything. You guys do a great job here.
Good.
Well, we're not through the rest of the show, so okay. Yeah. But right. We appreciate that right up front. Yeah, maybe we should wrap it up. Yeah, no, on a high note. Yeah.
Well, I did want to ask Will about how the clients find you. Is it at the networking events, and then how? Second part of that would be how do they know when they need your services?
Yeah.
Ryan,
good question.
That's a very good question. When you go to an event, there's two things that I recommend basically you have. One is a 10-second pitch and then a 30-second. 10-second is when somebody says, what do you do?
Okay.
And the 30-second is when you're at a networking event. I went to the Cobb Chamber the other day and I gave my 30-second. There was about 60 or 70 people there. My market is not everybody, but I need to let the people know they're out there. I can solve a problem. I gave my 30-second presentation. And I had three people walk up to me and said, I need to talk to you. This is something that's an issue.
And then walk me through that once they decide, okay, I need to work with you and your services. Is that you create a meeting and then sit down with them? Is it a scheduled process? And what are those services you provide?
Absolutely. One of the things that people, like for an attorney, if I'm dealing with an attorney or CPA, I don't want to know all the details. I want to know that I can trust you, I can depend on you, and I got to like you. And just tell me, it's like when you're working a computer. This is what you need to do. You don't need to go back and show him where all the circuit board and stuff is. I'm not buying the repair service. He's not buying what I'm doing. He's buying me and trusting me to do the service. So the same thing with a financial advisor, a banker, or anything like that. They're buying you to take care of their problem and solve their issues and keep one from happening in the future.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about challenges. We're talking about, obviously, networking events and how to be a professional networker and do things right. For those novice folks, what's a challenge a new person just entering? They've been told you got to get out there. What's the fear factors that come into play?
A couple of my clients will come to me and they'll have MBAs or PhDs in marine biology or chemistry or some great field, and they couldn't get a job in their field, so they ended up working for Meager and Company, mm-hmm. and they're selling Meagers now, and they're now the marketing person. They have to go to these dang networking events. And they say, well, I am an introvert. I can't talk to people. What am I going to do? You've got to understand what your challenge is. If you're an introvert, you've got to realize that and say, do you want to do this? You've got to change. You've got to open up. Most of the introverts I've taught with, if they'll walk through the vent, I'll show them how to do it. And when they come through the vent, the training, and get through with the first networking event, they actually say, this is so easy. I can't believe I've been beating myself up.
Like, right.
They walk out of the room 3 inches above the ground because they're so excited. This is so much fun.
Right.
Have you ever been around a passionate person that's been to a movie, a good dining place?
Right.
You got to go see this movie. This is great, man. That's what we're looking for. I'm a roofer. Would you like to roof?
Right.
So we're talking with Will Caraway. He's Chief Networking Executive. His website is chiefnetworkingexecutive.com, and you're listening to Buckhead Business Radio. One of my questions is, how do you decide which networking event to go to?
That's a good question.
Great question.
That's three good questions so far.
Great. Okay, we're keeping score, but it looks good in your column there.
So far, so good.
Well, the old question is, if you want to fish for the big fish, you need to go where the big fish swim.
Okay.
So the idea behind it is Joel's event is a great group of. He's got 70 to 100 events every month. Some of them you want to go to, some of them you don't want to go to. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying that very positively because you want to find the fish. Yes, sir.
And the fish that fit your freezer.
My freezer, I generally, end up, my big clients are people that have 3 to 5 or more salespeople. I deal with attorneys, accountants. They're not, they're very good at what they do, but they're not very good at socializing.
Right.
And that's what I try to bring that up.
What about I had this conversation with somebody the other day. A pet peeve I have is as soon as somebody walks up to you, they don't even acknowledge or do. What do you do? That's, So I mean, how do you coach people on, I don't know, being a little bit more probing or a different approach to that?
One of the things when you're at a networking event, most people are going to come up and say, "What do you do?" Now, my opinion on this is they don't really care what you do because they're hoping that you're polite and that you'll ask them what they do, so they can give you a 20 to 35 minute dissertation on their product and service. Well, what you got to do is you got to control the conversation. Somebody says, "What do?" That's great. And after a couple of seconds, you've got to jump in there. My suggestion to everyone is to find out not what the person does because you don't really care. And they don't care. I mean, they do, but unless you're an astronaut or work on the bomb disposal team, you're just like everybody else.
Yeah.
Your radio's different, networking different. So what you got to do is you got to find out what this person likes. I'm an international salesperson for the direct marketing company that does the development in the Southeast section. Go, wow, what else do you like to do other than your business?
Right, yeah.
And people always stop and say, what do you mean? What do I like to do?
Right.
And I said, when you're not networking,
you're
not doing this, what do you like to do? And the worst, they're going to come back and say, well, that's none of your business, Will. I don't know you well enough. And I'll say, you're absolutely right. And my response to them is, I network a lot, and I don't refer businesses. I refer people. And I thought you were a giver. I thought we might be able to have a chance to, refer each other. And they usually go, oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And they just turn right around and they start talking.
Well, one of the first questions I like to ask at any of these events is, what do you want? Why are you here?
Yeah, what are you looking for?
Yeah, I'm a little more direct sometimes.
Good for you. Good for you.
His military background.
I don't mind asking it. What do you want? What can I do for you?
Yeah. Ryan, you have the great ability to be a connector, and that's what you are inside, because that's exactly what a good networker does, is connect. Mm-hmm. I get to know the person first just a little bit, and then my second question is, what kind of referral are you looking for? What's a good client for you? What's a good customer?
That's a direct question.
Absolutely, and it's great because it throws them off. They go, oh my God, you're not trying to sell me anything, and they start thinking, well, I need, and if you're looking for a radio host, and Rich is there, remember the two girls I introduced you to?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Come over, Rich, and
You did exactly that.
I said
these folks would make a great guest on the show.
Yeah. That's one of the things that you like. If give you an example, there's a section in my book I call How to Introduce People You Don't Like to Other People You Don't Like.
Well, there probably is another term for that, but yeah.
Well, it's called referring. Now, you walk into a networking event and say, what do you like? What do you like to do?
Yeah.
And the guy says, well, I'd like to, I really like to charve chopsticks for a living. And you go, wow, that's real exciting.
Yeah, okay.
And then you say, well, what else do you like to do? Because you're trying to find common ground. And he might say, well, I'm trying to learn to read books backwards because I like the way they sound. And you're thinking to yourself, there's not a lot of connectivity here.
Right.
So I would normally say, well, it's really been nice talking to you. We promised each other we'd network a lot tonight, so I'm going to go network. Thank you for your time. Mm-hmm. You walk off, and about 10 or 15 minutes later, guess what? You're going to find a person and say, what do you do? What do you like to do? What are you looking for? He says, I like to carve chopsticks. And you're going, oh my God, another one.
Right.
And then what else? Well, I really would like to learn to read books backwards because I hear they sound good. You bring this guy over to the first guy you didn't
right.
connect with. You got to meet the second guy. Now, you've turned that situation in. You are now a connector.
Yes.
The feeling you had from the first person is now changed and said, this guy is really trying to help me. So you become, as you are, a connector. And that's what the best part about being a network is, being connected. You're a good connector too, Rich.
Thank you very much, Will. I have to say, I've been to maybe 10,000 networking events. I've never met a person that wants to read books backwards or a chopstick carver guy. Yeah, so,
I was trying to be not to offend anyone.
No, I know. That was,
right.
That was awesome. That was classic. Yeah, I followed that. But
well, at least you're being honest.
Yeah, I do want to rewind for a second because okay. we were hitting kind of an interesting point about you know, when you first meet someone, instead of what you do, or you know that's going to happen. That's the purpose of the networking, to find out how you can help each other. But when you start talking about, so what do you do when you're not working, or what do you do for fun? There was a formula. It's called what, FORM, right? I think mm-hmm. it stands for fun. So what do you enjoy? What's your occupation? So mm-hmm. I always want to learn about that. Recreation, and then M for money. How do you make money? So in other words, you know, what's your business model? You know, so if I learn how you kind of make money, who you're looking for, that I can kind of help introduce you to that. But this thing about, it's not all about the O in occupation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where people just stay in that wheelhouse all night long. They'll be at an event for 5 hours and that's all they're talking about. And if you do talk about what do they do for recreation, it's amazing. No matter who you're talking to, you'll find some commonality.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
And that's really, that's the person you'll recall out of the other 99 conversations you had that night. Right.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that to me is probably a takeaway. But back to this 10-second, 30-second, would you agree with this premise, is that when you're having that exchange and the person says, here's what I do for the 10 seconds, I've heard people say that's where you kind of stop. And if they ask you a follow-up question, that means there's some interest. But a lot of people will just go on with 9 other points,
mm-hmm.
right?
If there's no, if you say, what do you do? And if, for instance, you might, some attorneys will say, I look for angry people. I'm a divorce attorney.
Right, yeah.
I'd like to shoot your boss. I'm a photographer.
Right, yeah.
If the people just glaze over, there's no interest.
Yeah, and that's so, fine. That's okay.
That's okay. But if there's interest, that's when you go to the next step. Don't try to sell your product when you're networking. You're there okay. to build relationships, not to sell. That's what the next meetup is for.
Right.
You're there to network. If there's 50 or people there, my goal is between 3 and 5 minutes per person.
Right.
Everyone deserves a chance to meet me and have my services.
Speaking of that, that 3 to 5 minute window, so what's your exit strategy? Do you have a tip of like once the conversation is kind of played out, how do you politely exit?
My job is to get an appointment with people that I connect with.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Will. I teach networking online.
Right.
I wrote a book on what do you do? I'm not going to tell them what I do. Just like, okay, really? Tell me what you do. And if there's a connection, I'm going to say, listen, there's a good connection here. Would you be interested in having a cup of coffee? I network a lot. I'd like to be able to learn a little more about your business,
right.
about you, and what's a good referral for you. I'll take 30, 45 minutes of your time because it makes me look more professional when I meet people and I know people like you. Would you be open for a cup of coffee? Yes. When can put it on the calendar, the schedule, and we're done. I'm not there to close you.
Right,
I'm
exactly.
here to in and out, make the appointment, and move on, because later when we have coffee, we can build that relationship.
But that was my point of like moving on.
Mm-hmm.
So
how do you move on?
Yeah. So if not role play, but if we were sitting here having a conversation and I'm talking about my insurance firm, and because sometimes I see people, they're just struggling to like how to politely
that's a good point.
Move on.
You want to start and find out. You got to get that connection
right.
quickly. If there's no connection, you move on. The easiest way to move on is say, Rich, I really enjoyed talking to you. I think that thing about the carving the chopsticks
right, yeah.
is great, but I promised myself tonight when I came networking, I'd network with as many people as possible. So I'm going to go ahead and network. Nice talking to you. I'll see you later on.
Yeah. I struggle with that sometimes without feeling like it's a brush off or whatever, right? But I've sometimes said, you know, Will, pleasure talking to you. I know you've got to, there's a lot of other people you want to connect with, or, you know, pass out business cards, especially if you have that person that is that annoying person that just, they came loaded with a rubber band of 100 mm-hmm. business cards. And, I know there's not really a sincere connection here, so I'll just say, pleasure talking to you, Bob. I know you want to pass out some more business cards. I'll shake their hand. And they're happy. They're thrilled because, like, great, I got to pass out 99 more cards. Mm-hmm.
I recommend that people do what makes them feel good. Always be nice and comfortable, and I'll show you a little bit later on how to get out of some really tough situations. But always go from the heart. Be honest.
Yeah.
And treat that person the way you'd want to be treated. If there's no connection, don't waste their time or yours. Move on, and they understand.
So say you have made that connection, and you have left the networking event. What are some of your thoughts on how to reach out to that person, how to continue the conversation, but most importantly, how to start building that relationship to and take it to the next level?
Ryan, you've hit on the big, big problem, challenge that most all networkers have. And you know what it is, Rich.
Follow-up. Fortunes in the follow-up.
Right.
Now, the question is, one, you've got to remember these people are on their schedule, not your schedule. I will send out an email within 24 hours, no later than 48 hours. I really enjoyed meeting you, blah, blah, blah. And then I will say, can we have a cup of coffee? I'll follow up another week. And sometimes people are busy. I don't get a response for a week or 2 weeks. Unless you're going to, you're not getting off my list until you say don't call me anymore. Well, because the
you're
reason,
tenacious.
Well, the idea is a lot of people, and I think this is a good idea, some people send out a little postcard, a snail mail, and say thank you, because people don't do that anymore. It's different. They remember you. And then the second time, you send a postcard, and if they won't respond, say, I'd like to put you on my newsletter. Mm-hmm. The newsletter, and that a lot of people say, well, are you going to spam me and put me all this stuff? No, if you don't want to, you can unsubscribe. Right, it's very easy. But that way it keeps them in your memory.
Top of mind.
Everybody wants to go to heaven, but not today. But when they're ready to go, you want them to remember you.
So you send that email out and kind of put the ball back in their court, mm-hmm. ready for that response, mm-hmm. set up a meeting tentatively, and then hopefully you've built that connection, made that connection, built that relationship to the point where now you can have a personal meeting with them and do business with them.
It's important to have, very important for the first meeting. If you say 30, 45 minutes, you look at your watch in 34 minutes and says, I got to go. I promise you 30 minutes.
Right.
9 times out of 10, they'll say, no, don't go.
But at least you've given them an opt out.
It gives them that professionalism. They don't want to be beat up. They're there to learn. You're helping them. It's a win-win, but you've got to figure out what their pain is.
I think someone should come up with a networking app. So instead of trading business cards, you just touch your phone to their phone and all the information is exchanged right then and there. And they're already right there programmed, ready to email. There's something there, Rich. No, we need to look into that.
No, I have. There's been a lot of those kind of floating around. The challenge is that everybody would have to be on the same platform, the same Facebook.
Because I come home with a stack of cards, and then I've got to load them into my contact manager, and I feel that takes some effort.
And it does sound great in principle. Imagine the event last night. We were probably at Joel's event, about 100 people. So all 100 people would have to have that preloaded on their phone. That's the challenge, I guess.
Can I jump a little bit on the card thing? Yeah. There was a little thing I learned a long time ago about the cards, and there's a question, is it better to give or receive a business card? And the answer is, it depends. Hmm. Because there's two types of people you meet in networking. One's a giver, and the other one's a taker. A giver's a person like you that's going to give as much, somebody that you could relate to, maybe refer to, do business with. If you give me your card, I'm going to ask for it, because it doesn't matter whether I give you my card. I'm the one that's going to follow up. That person may or may not follow up. Right. Ryan, can I have your card? I'd like to sit down and maybe have a cup of coffee with you. Can I call you Monday or Tuesday? What's a good day? Find out when they're busy. Tuesday, Wednesday, great, I'm out of town. I will call you back. That card goes in their right pocket. The reason being is because it's the right thing to do.
I see. Okay.
You see where I'm going with
right,
that?
Yes.
You get
the pocket protector. Like,
right, yeah.
You take that card and you put it in the left pocket. Why do we put it in the left pocket?
Because they're losers?
No.
Sorry.
Because the left pocket, you keep them divided, the good guys and the bad guys or girls. So as I'm leaving, I reach in my left pocket, grab all those cards, and I throw them in the trash. Because I'm not going to refer them, and you're not going to refer.
Yeah, let's be honest.
So when I get home, I know which one's the good ones. It's normal, you get home, and you got all these cards, and you got to remember who the jerks were. Excuse me, the givers and the takers.
Right.
It eliminates, and the card, I use a neat receipt. Put all mine in there.
Just scan them, and they go directly into your contact manager.
You have to watch it. It takes about a second and a half. You put it in, it goes, and it looks up there, and it pretty much is.
That's an easy way to do it.
It does 90% of the work, then you do a little bit cleanup. So what you're saying is, to be frank, I mean, you have to have an intent, right?
Mm-hmm.
What you just described was by intention and design.
It's not a game.
It's not happenstance.
Networking is the most effective and the most efficient and the cheapest way to build business.
Yep.
Referral business is the best way, because if somebody says, you got to go see Rich, if somebody says, you got to see Will, they know. And people come, Rich said, I got to talk to you, Will. And I mean, the door's open. Referrals are important.
Because immediately you're piggybacking on their credentials and credibility. Mm-hmm. So you built a relationship with Bob Z. We know Bob Z, right?
Okay.
So you built a relationship with Bob Z, and with me having to reach out to him, cold call, or make a phone call or an email, there's all kinds of filtering and vetting processes that goes through. Whereas if Will says, Bob, you should really, you know, have a conversation with Ryan. This guy has some interesting, compelling thoughts and maybe really could, you know, y'all could partner on some ventures.
Correct.
Well, duh, is Bob going to turn down that introduction? He's going to go grab a beer or two with Ryan. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? No, the point is when I get a referral, they say, they said, I need to talk to you. I'm calling you. I don't know why I'm calling you, but Rich said to talk to you.
Yeah.
And people drag people over to me at networking events all the time. So you got to talk to him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we have a conversation, but it's that trust when you're turning someone over to someone that you care about, that's family. That's all difference in the world. Referrals are just, they're good as gold. I mean, you can't.
Well, when someone does that, that you know that person's an authority or has that. Let's go back to business cards here for a second.
Okay.
So rights or wrongs as far as either business card, you know, design or the way to present your card or the exchange of cards, are those people that, how does someone show up to you know where I'm going with this. How does someone to a networking event to exchange business, and what do they leave at home?
Their business card. Well, now that's a trick that a lot of the CEOs and CFOs.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
I don't have my card here, you know. And I said, yeah, right, because you've been taught to leave it home. Nobody can contact you.
Right,
which is fine. I doesn't bother me.
I take that a little bit rude. I mean,
well, I have a pen.
Don't show up then. Yeah, I do.
I have a pen. Yeah. What is your email?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't remember. Just give me it. Is there somebody called? You're not getting away from me. And they appreciate you being aggressive because they know you're professional.
Yeah, I've had that happen a while back where I would go to exchange a card and I'd ask for theirs. And you do get this vibe of a certain level, and they don't want to, understandably, pass out 100 business cards and be spammed by all those people, right? And those getters rather than the givers, right? So I exchange, I appreciate that. But if I'm giving you my card, And you ask for my card, I'd like to follow up with you. So I'll do that. I'll ask them for their information. If they, you know, still hem and haw, I've done, this may be a little bit rude, but I've done it where I've asked for my card back.
Oh, okay.
I mean, really, yeah. Come on. You know, I mean, fair is fair, right?
I guess so. If that's what you want to do. Yeah, that's totally, you're right. I mean,
one of the things, Rich, you always want what you can't have. Now, the idea behind the approach is when I talk to a client or potential client, I'll say, would you like to meet for coffee? And they'll say, yeah. And I said, well, we need to do some contact information. Do you want to contact? And they'll all the time, if they don't get, oh, they'll pull their card out. But if they're not going to do the card, they're not serious, I'm going to end the conversation and get over it because I'm the pro. I'm the go-to person. If they don't, I understand you have resentment or something going, no problem. Your problem, not mine.
I mean, you're the authority and they should respect that. But also, there are obviously exceptions. I mean, I've shown up to events and just ran out of cards or left them in the car and, But let's talk about switch gears here a little bit to networking events itself.
Yes, sir.
So how do you determine which events to pick and choose from as far as an attendee?
It depends on the old term B2B, B2C. It depends on the group that you want to. A lot of Joel's events I do for socializing because there's not a big crowd, because I'm looking for larger companies with five to, you know, or so. Now, they'll say, well, why do you go to these events? Because the CEOs and CFOs of the large companies don't network the way you and I do. But if you find an employee
that's
working for that, that is your way to get in the door.
So that's your point of contact.
I do that and say, well, why? That's why I would intro. What
are your thoughts on the social media aspect of all this? Following someone on Twitter or Facebook, you know, when they want a friend request you as soon as you're leaving the networking event, what are your thoughts there?
I am an old-fashioned kind of guy, and I thought Twitter and Facebook and stuff like that was not working. I have joined a group called TAG, Technology Association of Georgia. Had a speaker the other day talking about Twitter. He was a he had gotten Delta, and he was doing his Silver Club. Mm-hmm. He was flying back from Dubai, and he was saying, this is my Silver Club. This is a big club for Delta. Yeah. And he said, they haven't given me anything. They should do something for me. So he gets on his Twitter and starts tweeting, Delta sucks, you know?
Yeah.
And his wife says, don't put that on there.
Yeah,
he
says,
no. Within 18 minutes, a stewardess walked down the aisle and said, Mr.
So-and-so. Yeah.
So we have a bottle. We understand this is your thing like this.
Yeah.
And he says, when I got to land, he said, this is really great. Delta's really good. If they were really sharp, they'd have a parade or party for me when I landed. They had three.
Oh, come on.
Now, the reason I'm saying that, I said, why would somebody do that? Because Twitter has so many followers, and companies don't like that bad karma.
Yeah. They have to go on the defensive almost immediately.
Well, it happens. It's amazing how they've done stuff like that. I'm learning more about it. It's only 140 characters.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But there is something out there, because the younger crowd today don't have the, I think the term is the soft skills that some of the folks of the our generation, mm-hmm. so to speak. So what they're trying to do is they're trying to text, but we need to hit that entire market, everybody. But I think Twitter and social media has a very big presence in the in our networking.
That's work. Good to hear.
Well, in business, you have to be nimble. So you have to kind of find out what platforms you need to be on and be flexible to, you know, reach that audience. But it reminds me, there were several millennials last night I was having a conversation with, and I don't know if you've heard this these numbers recently. I've heard it a couple different sources. They say it's a little bit of a sad state of our current affairs with folks. But what is it? They say the average, because of all this, because of all this instant connection, mm-hmm. that the average attention span of folks these days is 8 seconds.
And you know where that comes from, the attention span of a goldfish?
A goldfish is actually 9 seconds.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, it's kind of like...
Well, that's something that we should look at, because that's what a 10-second presentation
exactly,
does.
Exactly, yeah.
It keeps you, oh, I need to stay awake.
I know we mentioned earlier, but I think that's a great point, for especially those people that are just kind of still learning in a learning curve about networking. It is an opening statement of 10 seconds, and then find out if there's some interest. So if I explain in 10 seconds what I do to Ryan, if I see him looking over my shoulder or, you know, doing something, if there's not a follow-up question, Rich, tell me a little bit more about that. So how does that work? If there's no follow-up, there's probably no interest.
Correct. You have to control the situation. If I can get to you before you can open your mouth, I'm going to ask you, so, you're in the radio business. Mm-hmm. What else do you like to do?
Yeah.
Nice.
And
I like that.
People stop. They go, that's a thinking question. Well,
it is.
I like to go play tennis. Do you play around here? Really? Are you any good at it? Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then you get into, by the way, what do you do?
Yeah.
Because we've got a connection now. Get a bunch of golfers together, sailboaters together in the same room. That conversation's all night long. Yeah.
So you have to be a little disruptive.
Well, because you're there for one reason, is to promote your business. And they're there trying to promote their business.
But that disruption is, Rich, you're in the radio business. So what else do you like to do? Because that catches me off guard. It gets me, like you said, disruptive. Because the last 50 people, it's like talking to robots at a certain point. It's the same question all night long.
Yeah, being unpredictable at times with your questioning. That's like I go back to, what can I do for you?
Yeah.
What do you want?
I just want to be a little taller and better looking.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll figure out a way to make that happen.
Make that happen. Whatever.
Bring you on the radio. We'll make you sound like a giant.
Nobody here helped me, but they're all laughing. Maybe someday somebody will walk up and say, here you go. Here's some better looking pills.
So let's delve in for a minute, exactly kind of boots on the street, if you will. Like, so how do you actually, you know, we've been talking about this. So Will, how do you go about helping people? What's your kind of, unique selling proposition, or what do you offer for folks? So we met at a networking event. Now we have a cup of coffee. So give me an abbreviated version over coffee, how that conversation may go, as far as, and especially for our listeners. So how, what would you do for them?
I'm going to tell you my selfish part of this, because nothing more finer or more exciting to me when somebody looks at me, male or female, and says, Will, you've changed my life. This makes all the difference in the world. They don't talk about their business, but their life, because everybody has one or two friends somewhere. But if you could expand that have friends all over that do business with you, I mean good people that you can call on the phone. So my question is, where are you? Are you an introvert or an extrovert? Well, I'm an introvert. I don't like to talk to my blah, blah, blah. Then we have to go in and say, this is what we need to do. Or what do you want to do? I want to be able to talk to people. Then can you do this? Can you do a 10-second? No, I can't do it. Well, I can show you how. Would you like to do it? And I push them. I hold them accountable. Mm-hmm. If you want to be successful, I can't train you to do anything else. All I can do is bring out the qualities that you already have.
Right.
And I'm very good at it. And people love it because they changes their lives. I mean, so I'm helping you get more referrals.
Okay.
And you're networking. When you go out and you start talking to people, whether you're in the grocery line, dry cleaners are especially at networking. I can show you how to get more referrals, because they don't refer the business. They refer you. Yes, sir.
Speaking of what they call, lifestyle marketing, I'm a big proponent of just corporate apparel, right? Because it's amazing being at the dry cleaners. I was at Einstein's Bagel the other day, had my corporate apparel on, and it gets people's attention.
Absolutely.
Especially if the, you know, you're not selling to everybody you meet. You're not engaging because you're not at a networking event. But people will then, if they're interested, tell me about that. And we just booked a guest from that conversation. But,
absolutely.
But back to you, as far as I'm business radio, I'm trying to, for our listeners as well, trying to wrap our head around your services. What's your value proposition in terms of what's your maybe business model? So, or would you say you're a coach and you charge for your services, or are you looking to kind of just expand your brand with more books and seminars or events?
Where I'm leading into is more, I'm doing more speaking engagements.
Okay.
Because people can, we can't hit everybody. I can hit about 60-70% of each audience I talk to, because some people just don't get it. They never will. But the ones that want to get it, that want to learn some techniques, and especially the extroverts, the people like you and I that love to talk, they still, you know, we're good small talkers, but do you have enough referrals? Do you have enough business? Would you like a couple of more accounts a month? If you do, give me a call. I can show you how, you know, to help people.
I have to let you know, I've actually graduated to a big talker, so I used to be a small talker, but yeah.
You're a great talker. You're a great talker.
But so who's in your wheelhouse as far as corporate clients that would hire you to come out and speak, or what type of engagements are you looking for? Or
some of the companies I with this new group I joined, I'm starting to do a lot of technology companies because they're selling technology, which is really important, but they don't have the social skills needed. So they're like very interested in me. I've got possibly 3 speaking engagements and probably 2 contracts with companies just to basically talk about how to go out and talk to people. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you've got a PhD in, you know, IT or whatever you have, that's great. I had people that have 3 documents that couldn't sell themselves out of a paper box.
Right.
But all that knowledge doesn't do any good unless you can communicate it with it on the level that you're comfortable.
Well, it's kind of like Ryan was talking earlier. You're just on the bubble of a millennial, right? Or
I'm Gen X.
You are Gen X? Okay, yeah. I'm putting that in your file.
Okay, thanks.
But you talked about social media. That's a great point. Everybody's on the social media bandwagon. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you need to be nimble. You need to kind of engage on that platform. But they may be proficient on social media, but they need to have the social skills.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And people realize, when I talk to people, and you've seen them at the events, there was a lady sitting over at the bar, and she goes, "What's this event?" And I explained it to her, and she said, "Here's my card." And I said, "You need to get up and talk." She said, "Oh, I can't talk to people."
Yeah.
And she was a perfect candidate. And the people standing in the corner with their heads down, I walk over and said, "This is your first event." And they said, "How'd you know?" And I said, "Well, you got you in a corner with your head down.
Right.
You did your business owner tell you to come out and network?" He said, "Yeah."
Yep.
So if I stand over here and look down, maybe no one will talk to
me.
So those are the people that need to learn. It's not hard. They fight. It's a big wall.
Right.
The biggest prisons that we have in the United States today are the walls that we build around ourselves.
Oh, that's a good one. Yes.
It's true. And that's, people go out there and say, "I can't do that." Henry Ford said the best. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right.
Yep.
What about teaching a networking workshop or some sort of boot camp for networkers out of a group? I think that'd be great.
That's a great idea. I had a group called, we used to meet over at Bonefish, and it was Wednesday, because they had the half-price Bang Bang Shrimp. And it was called You Can't Talk About What You Do Business in the networking. And we had a group, and it was every Wednesday night. And we would come over there, and you couldn't wear a name tag, just your first name, and you could not give a business card out.
Right.
You could tell people what you did, but you can't sell them what you did. You can tell them what Rich did. You know, my name is Hal, or, you know, Ryan, I'm in the radio business.
Yeah.
You know, and people said, "What are we going to talk about?" Duh.
Yeah.
And people were walking out of there going, "Oh, my God, Will, this is amazing." My events every quarter are called NARTY, N-A-R-T-Y.
Yeah, yeah.
They're short for networking and a party. And people love it because we practice in the networking events.
Yep.
Would you rather practice? Try this phrase. What do you like to do? And the last one we did, I said, "What do you like to do? You're not going to like to do this, but we're going to shut the windows, the curtains, lock the doors. Would you rather practice here with your market, or would you rather wait till your first client comes out and then practice with him?"
So you actually have these events going on already. If folks wanted to get signed up or learn more information about that, how could they?
Go to my website, ask for information. We always have events coming up. A lot of people contact me and says, "We want to run an event." I like them. It's one of those things that depends on where it is in the venue, but they're sporadic. We try to do one every quarter, but just go to the website, sign up on the newsletter, and we'll keep you informed of what's going on.
Just remind our listeners, that's chiefnetworkingexecutive.com for Will Caraway. For more information about him, his events, some of his insight, and you can purchase your book on the website
Amazon,
as well.
Amazon.com.
Yeah, what's the book title again?
The Professional Networker.
All right.
Okay. Excellent.
Well, this has been a very provocative and refreshing conversation, I have to say.
Yeah, no
doubt
about
it. Without question, right?
I've enjoyed it, too.
Yeah, he's so eloquent with how he presents it. It almost seems natural.
I think he knows what he's doing, yeah.
I would take advice from him any day of the week.
Oh, you're a good gentleman.
I used to host a few events called, we did networking and wine tasting. We called Net Wining.
I love that. It's right? A great group.
And but one thing we implemented, because we found that I was surprised, because I've been both being extroverts. I think all three of us are extroverts, but or especially in your environment. I mean, I sometimes get uncomfortable if I'm a little bit outside of my comfort zone, right? So what I found hosting the events is the event overall would be great. Once it got rock and rolling and shucking and jiving, we were, you know, in the zone. But as people first arrive, they're a little awkward in the room, not comfortable with the environment. We used to intentionally do some icebreakers and give people kind of assignments. Like, you know, you'd have to find the person in the room that that went to this, traveled to the certain place or whatever, right? So it intentionally, by design, forced them to engage besides just passing out business cards. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, it changed the dynamic of the rest of the evening because they felt like they had a little different connection than just the average. But then, I don't know, there's different schools of thought on having events that are too structured. We were at the Buckhead Club at Mark's event.
For the Network Over 40.
Right.
We were just there last week. And
there was no program, no announcement.
He called it free-range networking.
Yeah, free-range networking.
So there was no structure to it, just mix and mingle. And I find that's where I kind of operate the best because there is no structure to it.
Right.
Sometimes when I'm more uncomfortable, the more I put myself out there, my problem is sometimes I have to throttle back. Because I just tend to just kind of bullhead my way through things.
Right
and I just come on and say, who are you? What do you do? And I need to listen more than I speak. And I have no problem speaking, just sometimes listening is my...
Let me jump in for a second. We had an event like that, had some weather, had to change the venue up. So we had about 50 people there, and I said, let's do this. Since we've got short of people, let's give everybody the microphone for 30 to 45 seconds. Tell me a little bit about you and what you like to do. You can announce your business, but don't talk about it. And we had everybody go around, and after that, like 25, 30 minutes, people just split up, and they started, oh, my God, and they found the people they wanted
they
to talk
to. They identify those people almost immediately. I want to go talk with Sally over here or Tom over here.
And it made the downside was they stuck with those people the rest of the night. So, but at least they felt comfortable.
I mean, you have to be inventive in certain environments and situations. But, yeah, speaking of stuff, that goes back to the thing is, like, sometimes you'll see people and I'll look around the room and I'm circulating, if you will, and I'll just out of the corner of my eye, I'll see two people that have been talking almost the entire evening. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say bad or good, because maybe it's in their case, what's that? You think
it's bad? Well, it's bad because what happens, a lot of people are so uncomfortable networking, then find somebody that they finally connect with,
that's
and
true.
They get stuck, which is comforting.
Right.
But they're there. I have set up five different appointments from that networking just to build relationships, not for business, to build relationships.
Just from last night's event?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Well, that's easy. That was that. And I wasn't even trying because I knew everybody there.
Right,
But the idea behind it was to let's move forward with our relation building.
Right.
Because I need business. You need business. If we can't do business together, maybe we can refer. And it only takes one meeting to find out if I'm going to do business with you or not. And I'm not going to lose that relationship. I'm going to keep it because you will be a good referral for me and I will be a great one for you. So people like that connection.
Our corporate offices for the network host a quarterly networking mixer, and I just had an aha moment. I don't know if they would go for this, but certain events, maybe you do a pre-networking especially for amateurs or whatever you want to call it, or newbies, or not just for our event. For maybe most events should offer an early bird, kind of have you come in.
Improve your skills.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Love to do that because that's what when I take a networking or a client, we sit down, we do the presentation, we talk, we learn where you're from. Then the hardest part for them is I actually take you networking.
Right.
I show you how to do it. You're going to listen to me. We're going to go talk about it, come back, and then you're going to do it, and we're going to critique you.
But I don't know. Do you think this – I'm just – the idea was at maybe Joel's events or Corey's or our events or Mark's, whatever, maybe they should – you know, adopt this idea of, say, if the event starts at 6, Will will come in at 5:30, and for the newbies. So if you're a little bit awkward or nervous or haven't really attended too many events, mm-hmm. it'd be on the registration page, if you will, come in at 5:30 and you'll have a kind of networking 101. So you give them 15, 20 minutes of these tips that we've kind of talked about. Yes or yes?
Yes, I think it's a great idea, and I will be glad to do that for any group out there for free for 30 minutes.
That's...
And I will actually come in beforehand, meet with them to see what their subject matter is and to try to critique their presentation to the product they're trying to sell. Because you can work your relationship into what you're doing, but that's important to build relationships.
I mean, I think that'd be a win-win for the organizer, everybody around the in the entire audience. Because now these people that think they're, because when I first started networking, I'd go to the Cobb Chamber and I would literally have 100 business cards. And I thought that was the goal, objective, is to make sure everybody in the room got one of my cards, mm-hmm. right? And so, but you learn hopefully over time. But if you came in beforehand and offer that to folks, they could, they would be better equipped. They'd be more prepared. They'd feel more comfortable. And they wouldn't be so abrupt with these people. So the rest of the audience would appreciate it. And the overall event would feel like, this was a great event because I didn't get hounded. Mm-hmm. Because
absolutely. I could actually do a class for the people to show you how to get out of being hounded.
Yeah. Or we can encourage folks to go to buckheadbusinessradiox.com and listen to this
there
interview.
You
can learn from the man himself directly in the privacy of your own home.
Right.
Or get
nice.
His book, The Professional Networker, at Amazon as well. But all good ideas, and certainly growing your network is really the goal here, and you've got to be relentless in making those connections. You can't just wait for it to come to you.
But make it natural. When you say relentless, it's something that you have to do. Networking is so natural for people. You've got to be yourself when you're in front of people. Because people, when they see people that are enthusiastic about what they do, their product, because don't tell them what you do. Tell them why you're enthusiastic, what you're passionate about it.
Right.
They're looking at you going, I don't know what he's so excited about, but I haven't been that excited about anything in a long time, and I want to be around people that are excited.
Yeah.
I want to watch him burn. And that's where people get excited.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. This is, you know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Well, I appreciate your enthusiasm and Ryan being so steadfast on.
Thank you, Rich.
That's a good thing, is to say, listen to this broadcast, get his book, whatever.
That's
sticking
right.
to topic on hand. Yeah,
that's so. Right. Yeah, we do that here at Buckhead Business Radio for all of our guests and our listeners, here to get the good word out about what you're doing to change the world.
There you go.
And you're changing it one handshake, one business card at a time, and we like that.
Thank you, sir. Thank
yes.
you.
So I can't believe we're wrapping up another episode. Will, it's a pleasure having you here in the studio. So reminding our listeners to find out more about Will, all this information we posted on the site, as well as your contact information. Again, that's chiefnetworkingexecutive.com. So if you're looking for networking tips, or if you want to get married on a tugboat, call Will. Is it?
For the duration of the tugboat.
Right, yeah.
I so, will accommodate.
Ryan, a great show. We'll see you guys next time. Running Buckhead Business Radio X listeners, this is Rich Casanova signing off for another great episode. And again, we're home of Atlanta's only pro-business radio talk show.